Your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight as we continue our study. We've been talking about building up the walls. And the title of tonight is, Are We Building Up or Tearing Down? Well, there's two different pictures in Nehemiah chapter 4. One of Nehemiah and his men building up, and the other part of Sanballat and others who were trying to tear down. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and then in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, What are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we will rebuild the wall till all of it has reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the men of Ashdod heard the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, and they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, The strength of the laborers is getting out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, Wherever you turn, they will attack us. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. And when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. And from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. And the officers posted themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, I like that. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us here. Our God will fight for us. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. And at that time I also said to the people, Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off clothes. Each had his own weapon, even as he went for water. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I thank you for this picture of perseverance that we see tonight, of people who are willing to do the building, to build and work and do what they needed to do, to refortify Jerusalem and make it a place that you could be praised and worshiped in again. Lord, I pray that you would do the same in our lives, that you would help us build up a place, Father, that would draw people to praise and worship you, because it's all about you. It's not about this church, and it's not about the city of Jerusalem. It's all about you. And we know, Father, that you will fight for us as well. We thank you, Father, for this evening, and I pray that you'll just continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, folks, it's not any different now than it was then. There's always trouble going to be around, isn't there? There's always trouble in this world. And it comes from different places. Sometimes it comes from people on the outside who come and they mock. In fact, verses 1 through 3 tell us about Sanballat and Tobiah and how they were mocking them and saying they were feeble Jews and they're going to restore their wall. If a little sparrow landed on it, it would crumble underneath its wings. And it just mocking them. And people do that. People mock Christ. They mock this life living for Jesus. But you know what? Let them mock. You know, let them mock. What's it going to do to us? Nothing. But it really shows where people are. And then they turn to, when mockery didn't work, they turn to intimidation. And people, they love to intimidate. They love to say what they're going to do. You know, it's like the big bully who comes and says, "Man, I'm going to take your lunch money today." And then you pop him in the nose and he goes away crying. You know, the intimidation. They began to put their armies together and say, "We're going to come and defeat you." And basically Nehemiah said it in so many words, "Come on, we're ready." Every person's armed. You know, if you want to come, come. We're not going to back down. We're not going to back down. In the same way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Well, King, you know, you can throw us. You can even throw us into that fiery furnace, but we're not going to bow down. We are not going to do it." John chapter 15, verses 18 and verse 20, Jesus said this to his disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, then they will also obey yours." Jesus was just reminding all of us, it's not going to be easy. There are going to be people who bring trouble into our world from without. But sometimes it also comes from within. Look at what verse 10 says. "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.'" You know what? I think all of us have gotten to points in our lives where we go, "Man, I can't do this anymore. I want to throw in the towel. I mean, it just doesn't look like we're going to make it." It's discouragement. It's that point of going like, "What's the use even?" But the fact is that they were being deceived by what they saw rather than what they knew. When the man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. You know, a lot of times what we see tends to make us do what we do. It's a deceiving thing. Also, they were discouraged. Verse 12 says, "Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, 'Wherever you turn, they will attack us.'" You know, what good was that doing? They already knew that. We don't need to be here to discourage each other. We need to be here to encourage each other. You know? The fact is that God is not done doing what He's going to do. Until we hear that trumpet blow, we got to be busy about the work that He's given us to do. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed on the third day. He must be raised to life." And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned to him and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." This is Peter, his forefront disciple. And Jesus says to him, "No, listen. You are following the way of the world, Satan. Because the way of the world is to see and make all your decisions by what you think and by what you see in this world. I'm beyond this world," Jesus is telling him. "I'm going to go. I'm going to be rebuked by all these people who are very religious. And I'm even going to be put to death. But I'm going to be raised again. So, you can see it from Peter's perspective or from Jesus' perspective? I'm going to take Jesus'. We have trouble in this world. There's no doubt about it. But the best defense is a good offense. Nehemiah understood this. And so he said, first of all, be prayerful. Just like he was before he even came to Jerusalem. He spent multiple weeks in fasting and prayer. We should be filled and surrounded by prayer. We talked about this Sunday in James chapter 5. How we ought to be so full of prayer and fasting. We ought to be setting time aside constantly, speaking to God. And even as we go, we ought to be speaking to Him and listening to Him. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know what that does? It takes it off of you and it gives it to Him. Now it's His deal. And by the way, He can handle it. Right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert of sober mind so that you may what? Pray. So that we can pray. He didn't say so that we can fight. He didn't say that so that we can, you know, knock somebody in the head. But He says so we can pray. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That word devote literally means give your full attention to it. Give your full attention to prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Those words, ask, seek, and knock, are phraseology that says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. The door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus is saying, being continual in prayer. Do not stop praying. Be prayerful. But also we need to be alert. Look at what verse 9 says. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard and day and night to meet this threat. In other words, they were ready. They weren't going to be caught sleeping. They weren't going to be caught doing something different. They were ready. They were alert. They were watching out. We need to be very alert and discerning. The evil one is the father of deception and lies, and he tries continually to make bad things look good and good things look bad. You know what, folks? The things that in this world that seem to be the best things are really not the best things. They're leading down a road to destruction. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this about the evil one. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, you know the whole story about the roaring lion. The roaring lion is not the one who kills. He's the one who looks for something that's already been taken by someone else. And then he roars to scare them off so that he can have what they had. That's what Satan's like. So be prayerful and be alert. Be prepared. Verses 16 through 20 shows that they were ready. They were ready for work or war. They had equipment in one hand and their sword in the other. They were putting on the whole armor of God as we ought to be doing. All the armor, all the time. What I mean by that is we can't choose to put on one piece of it for this day and then to, you know, pick a different one for tomorrow. No. All of the armor of God, all the time. Because Satan is not going to keep trying to attack. Be ready in season and out of season, the Scripture tells us. We've got to be ready for whatever comes. We've got to be prepared. How many of you in here guys were Boy Scouts when you were young? And the motto is, always be prepared. Why? There you are. We've got to be prepared, right? Okay. Be united. Verses 19 to 23 says, God desires unity in the body. You know what, folks? It only takes a little thing to start separation and tearing down. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. But God doesn't desire that. God desires unity. And it can't be because the separation can't be because of what they want or she wants or he wants or I want. It has to be, what does God want? If we all are looking at what God wants, we'll be in unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Whatever it takes, we've got to be unified so that we can follow Him together. To be in unity demands that we be in tune to the same person. When we are all in tune with Jesus, there will be harmony in the church. Now, I don't know if you know much about piano tuners, but they carry this little tuning fork. And it's tuned to A440. And they... and it makes that noise. And then they tune A on the piano to that. And then everything else is tuned to that. And if it's not in tune with that, and in harmony with that, then it's going to be all messed up. I mean, you've heard pianos that are out of tune. They're not good, right? That's the important thing. We've got to be in tune with Him. If we're all in tune with Jesus, then there's going to be harmony in the church. We've got to be determined. Now listen, Nehemiah was determined to get this done. Look at what it says in verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked what? What does it say? With all their heart. They were determined. Determination and steadfastness are acts of our choice. It's not that some people can work better than others. It's that some people are more determined than others. You know what? I have seen athletes who didn't have the same set of skills that other athletes had, but they became better athletes because they were determined not to give up. When everybody else went home, they were back in the weight room. And then they were running more sprints. And they were doing whatever it took to get better. They were determined. They are shown by decisions that were already made before the temptation. They are shown by decisions that are already made before the temptation to quit comes. In other words, if you make a decision, stick with it, because that temptation to quit is always going to be there. Always going to be there. There's trouble in this world. The best defense is a good offense. Thirdly, our God is worth fighting for. And it has to do with our faith. Look at what it says in verse 2. In the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? In other words, he's saying, what do you have? Well, look at what verse 14 says. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, officials, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your home. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. You see, our faith should tell us that. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are to worship Him openly, with nothing held back. I think so many people are so held back by what they think other people are going to think about them. No, worship God. We're here to worship Him, not each other or anything else. And in fact, does God excite you? Don't hide that. The question is, has the enemy silenced your praise? We need to answer that question for ourselves. Has the enemy silenced my praise? Our God is worth fighting for. Our faith, our families. Verse 13, we need to pray with them. We need to praise with them. We need to instruct them. We need to fellowship with them. And we need to love them unconditionally. Folks, if we're not leading our families like that, men, if you're not leading your families like that, then what there's no hope. And then look at what verse 14 says again. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. What does it say? Who is great and awesome. You see, there's a time for us to take a stand. And that time is now. If not now, then when? I love this quote by Adrian Rogers. For much too long, the saints have allowed the enemy to tantalize our children, traumatize our homes, terrorize our hearts, and tranquilize our worship. Boy, just meditate on that for a minute. That's exactly what we've allowed to do. And guess who gets the victory then? I want to stand for the Lord. I don't want to tear down. I want to build up. And that happens when we are in tune with the Heavenly Father. And He brings harmony. And He brings unity. And He brings a together working together, cooperation, determination, steadfastness. All of those things will come along if we'll just keep our eyes fixed on Him. Father, I thank You for this study in Nehemiah today. I